Father's Day again to all of the fathers, and for those of you who have fathers out there today. And today we're going to be starting the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. So I invite you to open your Bibles there. We come today to one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. Commentators describe this chapter as the mountain peak of Scripture and as a triumphant hymn of hope. Douglas Moo refers to it as the inner sanctuary within the cathedral of the Christian faith. Personally, I have come to Romans chapter 8 again and again when I've been discouraged in my Christian life. Think of all the wonderful, comforting verses that you know out of Romans chapter 8. Many of you have memorized some of these scriptures. Verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Look at verse 28. What a comforting verse this one is. "And we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Look at verse 31. "And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." You get a taste of how wonderful this chapter is, how rich, how full. It's and so much in there that we can grab onto as believers in Christ and say, "Yes, I need that today. This is God's Word to me." Every verse in this chapter, I think, is just as good as those few that we have just mentioned as we begin here today. Just as helpful to us as believers. And I'm excited about what awaits us as we get into Romans chapter 8. And we'll spend several weeks here in chapter 8. Today I want to concentrate on the truth of God from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. As we study it today, I want you to think about four simple questions that we are going to ask of the text. Four questions that we will ask of this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to ask why. Why is this thing true? We're going to ask when. When does it take place? We're going to ask what. What is it saying to us? And we're going to ask who. Who is it for? And so as we look at that today, I want you to keep those questions in mind. Why, when, what, and who, as we read these first four verses of Romans chapter 8. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant Word. May His Spirit write this eternal truth on our hearts today. Verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Father, as we have read Your holy word today, would You burn its truth into our minds and deep into our heart, that we would be encouraged today and strengthened in the faith as You teach us Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you hear verse 1? Listen to it again. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This verse is so full of precious and practical truth that I think it would be helpful for us to just kind of take this one phrase at a time as we consider why, when, what, and who of no condemnation. So first of all, why? And the phrase that we look at there is, there is therefore. It's the beginning of the verse in most of our English translations. There is therefore. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is the great conclusion that is drawn from the previous 7 chapters in the book of Romans. The word therefore serves to tie the preceding 7 chapters together with what's coming in chapter 8. It links the truth here in verse 1 with everything that Paul has already established so far in the book of Romans. Where have we been in the book of Romans? What is he reminding us of as he says, therefore? Well, in chapters 1 through 3 of the book of Romans, we saw that all men fall under the condemnation of God. For all of us have had some revelation that God is real and that He is the judge of all people, that we are accountable to Him. Not only that, but people have rejected that truth, and the Bible calls that sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul concludes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And then in the rest of chapter 3, all the way through chapter 5, Paul has proved that although we are totally incapable of earning acceptance with God on our own, God has provided righteousness. He has made a way for us to be made right with God, to be justified before Him by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life for us on the cross and who was raised from the dead. Jesus, who died in the sinner's place, is the way to be made right with God. We do it by receiving the free gift that God gives, His grace. And we receive it by faith, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sin, that God raised Him from the dead, and if I will trust in His finished work, God will forgive all of my sin, He will make me right with Him, He will take the righteousness of Christ and He will put it to my account, He will take my sin and put it on Jesus, who died for it. That's what we learned in chapters 3 through 5. Then when we got to chapter 6, well, even before, I think it's important that we stop there in chapter 5, because if you go back to chapter 5, verse 18, turn in your Bibles there for a moment. It's just a couple chapters back there from chapter 8. This is important because what we're going to say, what Paul is saying in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? Well, the problem is that we were condemned. Verse 18 of chapter 5 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. All of us, as we said when we studied chapter 5, all of us were judged, were condemned as sinners in Adam. All of us. And we inherit that sin nature. And all of us, when we get old enough to know right from wrong, we will sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the reason for that is because we all were condemned in the very beginning. And that condemnation hangs over every person. But the good news that he said in the second half of that verse was what? He said there was also one man, Jesus Christ, who through a righteous act, that is his life that was lived in righteousness and his death on the cross on our behalf, God gave a free gift to all men, resulting in justification of life. So that everyone who is in Christ, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, gets made right with God, gets the righteousness of Christ. That's what we learned as we went through these chapters. Chapter 6 showed us how our union with Christ makes holiness, makes sanctification both necessary, that we cannot continue to live in sin after we come to Christ, and it makes it possible because we have died to sin with Christ, we've been raised to a new life, and we now live for Him rather than living for sin. Then when we got to chapter 7, we saw that Paul explained how the law cannot make us holy and how believers still struggle with indwelling sin. And chapter 7 ended with that desperate cry for deliverance from this indwelling sin, as he said in verse 24 of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he said in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was a clue to the answer. The answer is, how am I delivered from this indwelling sin? The answer is Jesus. But then he says at the end of verse 25, so then with the mind, in my inner man, in this new person that I am in Christ, I serve the law of God. I want to do what's right. But with the flesh, in this body of death, he says, where indwelling sin is, he said, I serve the law of sin. There continues to be this struggle that we all know takes place in the Christian life. Now, when Paul gets to Romans chapter 8, he's going to show us how we are to have deliverance from the power of sin in our lives. We have already been delivered from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, he said in chapter 6, verse 23. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we have been saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. Spiritual death, a separation from God, the where we are. But now we've been made the children of God. We have come to Jesus by faith. We've been united with Christ. And so we have been set free from the penalty of sin. He's also going to show us how now to be set free from the very power of sin. through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We'll get to there as we get through Romans chapter 8. But what I wanted you to see with the why question is this. Why does Paul say in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Well, the reason he says that is because he has already shown that we are made right with God through what Jesus Christ has done, and when we are joined together with Him in His death and in His resurrection by faith in Jesus, our sins are put away and we are made right with God. We are justified before Him and God does not hold us guilty. That's what he's been saying in the whole book so far, right? Chapters 1 through 7. And so, the therefore is very important. It's there because it reminds us of everything that he's been teaching about justification by faith. The second question that we want to ask to this text is, when? And you see the little word, now. He says, there is, therefore, now. Believers in Jesus Christ live in that now of verse 1. There was a time when we were condemned. We read that in chapter 5, right? We were condemned. We deserved the wrath of God like every other person in this world. We were sentenced to death for our sins. There was a time when we had the terrible dread of the judgment of a holy God, as Paul said in Romans chapter 2. But not now. Now. Now there is something new. Now there is a new age that has come through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world, and through His death and through His resurrection, there is a now. There is a new life that we have been given in Christ. What has changed? Well, what has changed is that God has sent His Son. For the born-again believer, there is an assurance that there will be no judgment to come in the future for our sins. There is no judgment for our sins. And we know that that's coming in the future. We know that there is a judgment day in which all people will stand before God. Believers and unbelievers alike will stand before God in judgment. But for those who are in Christ, there's a difference. That judgment is no longer a judgment for our sin. And there's a good reason for that. Because Christ has already taken the judgment for us. That's what he's going to say as we get into this chapter here. But what I want you to notice is that not only is that true for us in the future judgment, that there is no condemnation for us, but I also want you to see that it is true now. We don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven. We don't have to wait until Christ comes again and we're raised from the dead and all of that to have this truth be real in our lives. It is true now, he says. There is therefore now no condemnation. Today, there is no condemnation. If you are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then right now, at this very moment, there is no condemnation. One pastor put it this way: no condemnation means that there is neither judgment from God on me, nor annoyance with God with respect to me, neither on the last day or today. And so the why is because we have been justified by faith. The when is now and forever, right? The what is the most wonderful part? No condemnation. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. One of the most important words in this sentence is the word no. In fact, in the original Greek, when you read this sentence, you will find that the first word in the Greek is not therefore, it's not there is, it's no. And when you're writing in the Greek language, if you want to emphasize something in a sentence, you put it at the beginning of the sentence. And so what Paul is doing here is he's emphasizing the word no. In addition, Paul chose a very strong no. There's more than one way to say no in the Greek language, and he chose the one of the most strongest negatives that you can come up with in the language, and it means that there's absolutely nothing by way of condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. We could say it like this: not even one will now or ever be condemned who is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Not even one will now or ever be condemned who is in Christ Jesus. God doesn't condemn the Christian. Not even one. Not even one little bit is what he's saying. There is not even a little taste of condemnation, he says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not have one cross word of condemnation for any who are in Christ Jesus, is what he says. The word condemn comes from two Greek words. One means down, and the other means to judge. Literally, it means to judge down. It was used of the Roman emperor as he sat on the throne and prisoners were brought before him. And as he heard their cases, he would either judge up or judge down. Friend, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sin, the Almighty Judge does not judge you down. He judges you up. God won't judge down because He has sent Christ down and He has judged Him for your sin. The judgment that we deserved settled on the Savior. And now God's blessings come down to us. The gavel of God's grace for the believer, He comes down as He gives the verdict. And the verdict for every person who is in Christ is this: no condemnation. You are now a saint, not a sinner. You are not unrighteous, you are righteous, because I have declared you to be righteous in Christ. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." God's judgment will not come down on the believer. God will not condemn those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Not now, not ever. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. That was the why, wasn't it? Look at verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. We saw that in chapter 7, right? We saw that we couldn't do anything to make ourselves holy by works of the law. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't justify ourselves by works of the law because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And we couldn't even do it after we were saved. We couldn't keep ourselves or make ourselves holy by works of the law. It could not be done. Because why? Because the flesh is weak. Right? Because we have this indwelling sin in us, and there's always going to be times when we will fail. We won't fail all the time. And we won't want to fail. And we will hate our sin. And we will love God. And we will love His law. But the truth is that the flesh is weak, he said. We saw that in chapter 7. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, listen to it. God did. God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for sin. And those who are in Christ will not be condemned because Jesus was condemned in our place. There is no punishment for us because Christ bore our punishment. Every bit of it. When God says no condemnation, it's not based on our performance, but on our position. If we are in Christ, then there is no condemnation. God declares it to be so because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. God doesn't revoke it when we rebel or when we suddenly seethe with anger towards someone or when we fall into sin from time to time. God doesn't revoke our no condemnation judgment. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have been made right with God. We have peace with Him. We're no longer at war with Him. We are not enemies of God. We are friends of God. We are children of God. And He loves us. And He's placed His Spirit in us. There is no condemnation. Having said that, let's think about what this does not mean. Paul is not saying that there is no cause for our condemnation. There are plenty of reasons for us to be condemned. If you're not convinced, go back and read the first 7 chapters of the book of Romans. You'll find that God has every reason to condemn every person. Or just look at the sins that you committed this week. You know that God has reasons to condemn you. He's not saying that believers do not fail. He's not saying that we don't struggle or stumble. We saw that we do in chapter 7, didn't we? Ray Pritchard offers this perspective. He said, when Jesus saved you, He didn't say that He would take away all of your problems. No. But He did say this, in your problems, there is no condemnation. In your going astray, there is no condemnation. One of my favorite hymns is by Charles Wesley. This hymn is, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" Listen to the last verse of that song. He says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. We have access to the very throne of God. We can come boldly before Him because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Who's it for? To those who are in Christ Jesus. The promise of no condemnation is available for all. But it's applied only to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not automatic. You don't get it simply because you go to church. You don't get it because you try to do all the right things. You don't get it because you give money in the offering plate. You don't get it because your parents had it. It's only for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's one of Paul's favorite phrases that he uses throughout many of his letters. He uses the phrase in Christ 164 different times. It's so meaningful. To be a Christian means to be in Christ. The Bible is very clear. We saw it in chapter 5 of Romans, where he said, you are either in Adam, doomed to condemnation, or you are in Christ, destined for to be commended, not condemned. You are in the light or you are in the darkness. You are a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then when God looks at you, He sees Jesus Christ. He sees the sinless, spotless Son of God who died for you, who was raised from the dead, who is at His right hand, who intercedes for you at all times. He sees Jesus and He credits you with all that is said about His Son. And you will never be condemned. If you are in Christ, then what happened to Him is yours. As we've already seen in chapter 6 and chapter 7, we died with Christ. We were buried with Him. We were raised to a new life with Him. And in Ephesians, he goes on to say, we were even seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything that is Christ is ours. He's going to say later on in chapter 8 here, he's going to say, we are co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That everything that Jesus inherits from the Father is ours. Why? Because we are in Christ. We're joined with Him. We have this union with Him, and everything that is His is ours. And so because Christ has no condemnation, we have no condemnation. Look at verse 31 of chapter 8. If you are in Christ, you are not condemned. Not now, not ever. Listen to what Paul says later in this chapter. Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Did you ever think that God is for you? God is for you. He is not against you. If you are in Christ Jesus, He is for you. It says in verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If God says no condemnation, does it matter if anybody else says condemned? Who can bring a charge against God's elect if God has said not condemned? He says, it is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is the one that condemns? No one. Because Christ has done it for us. God is for us. He is not against us. Christ is for us. He died for us. He intercedes for us. If God will not bring a charge against us, does it matter if anybody else does? And even if they did, who cares? God accepts me because of what Christ has done. I like what John Piper had to say about this. He said, it is not as though some days God is against you in wrath, and those days are bad days, while other days He is for you with love, and those days are good days. It is emphatically not that case, and not the way that we ought to think about it. It may seem that way, but that is precisely why we need the truth of God's revelation of His Word. Most of the time in this world of pleasure and pain, things are not what they seem. To understand what things really are like, what is really happening, we have to put on the lens of God's Word. In Jesus Christ, God is for you. Period. Always. Let's face it. Some of us think this is too good to be true. In a sin-soaked world, filled with sickness and disease and people who go out and mass murder and wars and fightings within our family and anger and bitterness that we sometimes carry around and the sin that grabs hold of us and the temptations that are there and all of these this agony and pain. How could this be possible that there is no condemnation for us? It's in verse 3 again. Did you see it? God did it. Right? God did it by sending His Son. Your acceptance by God doesn't depend on anything you are or anything you do. It simply depends on, am I in Christ? It's only because of what Christ has done for you. If you have accepted Christ Jesus, God is not angry with you. Regardless of what you have done. He loves you. He cherishes you. He gives you that thumbs up because of Christ. Say it with me. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you are struggling with sin, like we saw in chapter 7, and your failures cause you to fall short, listen, God says to you, there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If your memories of what you did in the past are paralyzing you and you can't seem to move forward out of that, remember, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If your life has gotten tough and you begin to think that maybe God is somehow paying you back for your sins, that's a lie. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself thinking that God is angry with you and out to get you, that's a lie. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If there's someone around you who is condemning you and putting you down and making you feel like you're not living up to who you are supposed to be, remember, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If your children are breaking your heart and you feel like it's all your fault, if I could have just been a better parent, if I could have just done something right, cling to this promise. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If Satan is accusing you and condemning you, as he will, because the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren, tell him he has nothing on you. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. My condemnation was taken by Him. And now there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What if we believed that? What if we lived our lives on the basis that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? We'd be free. Or at least a lot freer than we are, than we feel like we are. Without that voice of condemnation always ringing in our ears, we'd be sensitive to hear the voice of God. His Word would come alive to us. We would find joy in serving Him. We'd be more deeply connected to His Spirit with His love, His power, His leading. We would live chapter 8 of Romans. So as we close today, if you are in Christ, the fact is, God is for you. If you are outside of Christ, you are condemned already, and judgment is awaiting you. A judgment that only has one conclusion, and that is an eternity in hell. That doesn't have to be your story. You don't have to stay that way. You can be in Christ. You can come and say, Jesus is the Son of God. He gave His life on the cross. His blood was poured out because there He took my condemnation, my sin upon Himself. He became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And God raised Him from the dead, and I want more than anything else for that to be me. Would you come to Jesus today? Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this message, for the truth that You have given us, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, today, would You burn that truth into our hearts and lives, that we would go from this place living that truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.